Good morning. 7:50 a.m. on January 30th, 2017. It's a Monday. Feels like a Monday. We had had to get up, get the kids to work this morning. There was a brief period last night, way too late, when they were adjusting schedules because somebody called in sick. And we thought for a little bit that she wasn't going to have to go to work at 7:30 in the morning. Apparently sometime last night, and I didn't stay up for it, but sometime last night those hopes were dashed. And so we're up, we're out, we're moving around. I'm going to get the walk and the talk in. Got to get a grocery run in at some point today. I've had a request for pasta, something with pasta. I've got a lot of cheese in the fridge. Maybe I'll make homemade mac and cheese. That's it. That's all I got today. I don't want to talk politics, which is the only other thing on my mind at the moment. I don't quite know what to do. So there's have to be very little talking on the walking this morning. I do need to come up with some sort of blog post for second Friday in February. This morning I reviewed Scott Beckman's Pantheon, and there's a lot to recommend that book. But I also spent some time last night talking to Scott, or chatting with Scott on Facebook. And one of the problems he's facing is that he's published it through Lulu, and Lulu is doing both his paperback and his ebook, and that's a problem because he's not getting the benefit of the Kindle discounts. And that's a problem, because this is a good book. It's an early book. It's his second book. I haven't read his first one. I really don't know why. I like the cover of Pantheon. I like the way it looked, and it hooked me in very fast. So I went ahead and got it. And the reason I was reading Beckman at all was because I met him. He recently joined the Independent Publisher Lies, independently published authors list on Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers, which I will henceforth refer to as IPAL and RMFW, because I'm too lazy. I hear a goose. So I met him down at Cosine, and he seems like a pretty sharp guy. He seems like a pretty cool dude. And that was the reason that I picked up his book. And I liked it, so I reviewed it because I needed a review for this morning, and that was the last book I finished. What am I reading now? I'm reading something. It's a military science fiction supercarrier. I'm not sure I like it. I'm not sure I don't like it, but I'm not sure I like it. The characters are a little bit... What is it? What am I going to try to say here? It's not a bad book. If you like military science fiction, it's like, okay, fine. Grab a sample, see what you think. But I find the characters predictably flawed. So they're over the top flawed. So the captain of this ship is single-minded to a fault. He's got his vision of what the universe is like, and he's going to follow that no matter what. And the main character has got a chip on his shoulder, and everything feeds off this chip on his shoulder. He's got a little bit of dimension. Most of the others don't. So they're kind of two-dimensional, they're kind of predictably flawed. And it's not, you know, the story, the bad guy is a psychopath. He's not just a sociopath, he's a psychopath. I don't know. The jury's out on this one. I'm still reading it, which is a sign that I haven't come across a lot of point of view breaks. I haven't come across a lot of technical issues about the writing that put me off it. Other than, it's the second book in a row that I've read where the paragraph indents are barely one character wide. And I suspect it's because the indent was set by a percentage of the width of the screen and not by a certain number of characters. I usually set my first line indent to be 3 characters wide, 3 M's wide. So you get a good indent so you can tell where each paragraph starts. This one has got just the tiniest of indents, just like maybe 1 character. And when you've got a lot of dialogue, it's difficult to spot the breaks. So I find that irritating. The one that I sampled before had none, had zero. It was all straight line down the left-hand margin. So maybe I'll talk about formatting today. Maybe I'll make a blog post about formatting. There's a lot of interesting ideas that go into formatting a page. There's a lot of interesting science that goes into how people read lines on a page, and very little of that science is actually reflected in common wisdom on what constitutes a good line of text. For example, why is it a bad idea to put all caps? And it has to do with the fact that when you're reading in English, and basically most Western languages where you read left to right, your eyes track across the top ragged edge of the letters and track back along the smooth line at the bottom. So your eyes zip across the top and then scan back across the bottom. Or scan across the top and zip back across the bottom. However you want to think about it. But there's pretty clear early evidence on readings, studies on reading, where that's true. So the smoothest path for text to brain is mixed case, so a few capitalizations to make them stand out, but basically lowercase, zip across the top, zip across the bottom, pick up the next line. And the indents give your eye stopping points between paragraphs, so you're not playing games with trying to figure out where one unit of thought ends and the next one begins. It's particularly important in dialogue. Monk post. Most style guides recommend using either block with a blank line between, or first paragraph indent with no blank line between. Not both. I've seen that happen a lot. Good morning. Maybe that's what our blog post will be this week, this month, next month. Next month, which is like 3 days away, 2 days away. I get to start a new month in my bullet journal. I'm not sure about the dotted journals. I could have sworn that fence was short yesterday. I'm not sure about the dotted bullet journals. I find it difficult to see the dots in order to line my writing up properly. And it's difficult for me to get a good block drawn. I draw a square for the repeating tasks. And so I like to have nice, neat blocks. They're not nice, neat blocks. They're sort of scribbled blocks. I'm happy with the journal. I'm happy with the process. I need to practice my writing, which means I need to get some lined paper and practice my script. I dreamt about writing in cursive last night, just to give you an idea of how far down this rabbit hole I have gone. Warming up, or I'm warming up, let's put it that way. The temperature's in the mid-30s. It's supposed to be in the mid-60s or low 60s by the end of the day. It was in the 60s yesterday, which is a mind-boggler. Must be our January thaw. So I have noticed that my printing, because I tend to print, I tend not to use cursive. My printing has gotten much neater as I've gone along. I'm much less likely to. Mangle the letters. I think it's probably because I do a lot more writing by hand. I do a lot more stuff that I recognize when I'm doing it that I need to be able to read it later. And I'm in no particular hurry, so it's not like I'm taking notes in class or I'm trying to get the words down because they're coming so fast I don't have time. There were classes where I wish I could use shorthand. back when I was a student, back when I was a grad student, back when I was an undergrad student, I learned shorthand very, very briefly. My mother had a Grieg shorthand manual, an instruction manual, and I did practice it, but it was slow. It was slower than writing, and now it's slower than typing. No, now I've completely forgotten it, but, you know, I can type 60, 80, 100 words a minute. I don't know that I'd have to do a lot of practicing to get shorthand up to that speed or better. And I don't have the inclination, the incentive to do it anymore. But I do have an incentive to clean up my handwriting, because I really like looking at the journal. If it's attractive, if it's nicely lettered, if it's nicely laid out on the page, then I'm much more likely to pay attention to it. That's my rationale. I think it's true, because the days where I just slop something on the page, I barely look at it. But I have a header, I have a banner across the top for every day. I have my colored blocks for things that are of different import. So I have a red block where must do, which walk, talk, meditate, mindfulness. I have a black block, which is basically work and tasks and things I want to accomplish that day. I have, at the foot of each page, I have a celebration in red to make it stand out at the bottom. Rouge et noir. The red and the black, which are classic typography colors. I have a lot of colors. I have a box of 10 colors, 10 colored fine point markers. And I use the red, I use the black. Occasionally I'll use a green. Occasionally I'll use a blue. Today and tomorrow, and then probably sometime tomorrow I'll lay out February. Short month. I did get some stuff accomplished this month, and that's the one thing that the bullet journal is showing me, is that, you know, I've got the office almost done. I still have to figure out what I'm going to do with the packing material. Still have to figure out what I'm going to do with... I got a box of junk that I'm just going to throw away. I got a bunch of stuff that I don't necessarily want to throw away. I don't necessarily want to keep. I got a spare coffee grinder. I now have three of them. Four of them, counting the one I use all the time. I have three spares, which might be handy. I also found my old teapot. Not teapot, tea kettle. I have a tea kettle. And the tea kettle is... What I didn't find was my teapot. Because I had a teapot in my office. It was a dolphin-shaped clay teapot. It was quite lovely. I don't know what happened to it. I found the tea kettle, an electric one, plug-in. I set it aside in the kitchen. I'm not sure I want to keep it. It's got a little rust on the bottom of it. I'm sure that's not going to help matters. I don't know. We'll see. I'll just toss it. At any rate, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.